Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Mike Schoke and the Bulldog.
How many bees is a swarm? Is two a swarm or three? Whatever. How many does it have to be?
And be like seven.
It's Mike Schoke.
How many times do you have to be stung to have been swarmed? And I was like, dude, I got swarmed. I got stung only once, but I was swarmed.
And the Bulldog.
You insist you were swarmed.
There were bees, man, like plural, big, lots of S's. Lots of E's in S, bees. that was not
bees.
Fun.
Bees.
Right. That was not fun.
On WGR.
Hey, man, that kind of hurt.
Sports Radio 550.
How'd it go yesterday?
I'm not here to talk about the past. I think it was great.
How are you supposed to answer that?
It was great.
How are you supposed to answer that? You know?
I mean, of course we missed you. Don't ever let it be said that we didn't miss you. I would never. Yeah, it was just fine.
Fine, right?
Yeah. Trapasso, Sal, Paul, you know, me, Zach. Yeah, we just did our thing.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I had a thought last night. I don't even know if I want to say it. About
the
game.
Best kinds.
About the game. I don't really want to play Pittsburgh right now.
Why?
Well, I kind of talked myself into kind of a lather on Tuesday about the word fragile and the Bills' skill position players. You know, nothing practice news-wise would probably change my attitude about that. You know, Knox missing and McKenzie, and we'll see if Davis. Like, Davis has been playing, but we don't know how healthy he is. Like, somebody in there, or Shakir, somebody in there is going to get the ball kind of a lot coming up here with Crowder out. Like, McKenzie would, you know, be included in that, of course, if he's able to play. But I don't know what I've got. And so in that conversation, we had 5 o'clock hour on Tuesday. There was this, and there was, you know, mixed into that was like sort of, I made myself nervous about this game. And like the Steelers never being a 14-point underdog before, and Pickett starting his first game, like the unknown there, plus the tradition of the Steelers, the mystique of the Steelers. Like you can beat them, but it's going to hurt. Is kind of how I feel the Steelers are. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know. I ran and bet the under yesterday. I mean, the Bills have a great defense, too. I don't think the Steelers have a great defense. The Bills have a great defense right now. And I think can, you know, should even win this game there with their D, depending on, like, if Pickett is just incredible or something, which I don't expect. But you don't know what you've got there.
Right.
So That was where I was yesterday when thinking about it. Like, I don't want to play the Steelers right now.
I think I would agree. I'm not worried about playing the Steelers right now. I could be less. If I'm not worried, can I be less worried? No, that doesn't make sense. I'm not worried. I'd feel better. I don't feel bad. You know, Pickett is an unknown, and what are people saying about him? What does Sam Monson say to us without hesitation on Tuesday? He's going to make them better.
Yeah.
You know, sure, the rookie quarterback thing and, you know, against a good defense, and, you know, there's, you know, people have been talking about that since as long as I've been watching football. Although when we were kids, rookie quarterbacks very rarely played, and that's not the case anymore. But anyway, he's willing to let it go, and he'll throw it up to, you know, suddenly George Pickens is doing more than just clearing out space for other people, and there's actually a route tree there, and he's not afraid to throw it down there to these guys. And that's, you know, that doesn't sound like Mitch Trubisky, at least the Mitch Trubisky that we watched play the first 4 weeks, or 3.5 weeks, as it were. You know, kind of timid and kind of squirrely in the pocket and not really wanting to let it go, but playing safe, really. And maybe that's just him. Maybe that's some combination of him coupled with what they wanted him to do when he was trying to be a good guy and follow instructions so he could keep his job longer. I don't know. But someone who's willing to throw it is, to me, always more dangerous. Now, he could be, Pickett, more dangerous to his own team because of that. And, you know, that's about as far as I can go getting concerned about the quarterback change. Because I think there's, of course, there's a chance he just has a great debut. There's also a chance he throws it to the Bills a few times. And so I don't feel tense about this game at all. Maybe that should concern you. I don't know, but I feel fine. I think McKenzie's trending in the right direction. I feel like he's on the Ryan Bates path here. Still in the protocol, but worked limited. We'll see what tomorrow brings. And Davis has looked better to me. Like I compared some of what we saw him do on Sunday versus what he looked like at practice yesterday. And to my uneducated eye, I saw marked improvement in his ability to get in and out of cuts. So I think he's, you know, looking like he'll be fine, provided he doesn't step on a sprinkler head or something tomorrow.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
Yeah.
He's never gotten a lot of volume, or almost never, in the playoff game that did happen. A lot of that was very late in that game, but still. So that'll be interesting if he is healthy. I kind of want to not worry about that anymore. I mean, he's played the last 2 weeks, almost the whole game. So, I mean, how bad of an injury was it? If I don't have to worry about that anymore, then there's probably room here if the Steelers can keep up offensively and not just be so inept that the Bills don't really need to push. If the Bills need to push at all, there's room for Davis to, you know, get the ball a lot. It's just, you know, we'll see if he has that in him, if he commands that kind of target share. Diggs, the Tennessee game was a game where it came so easy for Diggs. That's all Josh Allen really needed in that game, was to just keep going to him. And he's working over these guys in the secondary. Maybe you get a game like that too. I don't know. It's just, like, this is a blanket statement, but have the Bills ever had an easy game with Pittsburgh? Ever? Like, I'm 50 years old. Have they ever had an easy game with the Steelers where, like, they're a 14-point favorite here? Ugh. Like, when they beat them, it's hard.
Yeah, I think, didn't we talk about the last game in the stadium between these two and, not the opener last year, but the time before that, right? They played 3 years in a row?
Yes.
19 there, 20 here, 21 here.
Right.
Right? Okay. The game in 20 here wasn't hard, but it wasn't, like, they didn't cruise.
No, they were down at the end of the half, and they got a pick six right before halftime in that game. I watched that game on Spanish TV.
How'd that go?
It's hard to remember, but I do remember that. Like, they were struggling badly in that game. And who was it? Taron Johnson had a pick six.
Johnson. Yeah.
They were down 7-0 at the 2-minute warning against Pittsburgh. Ended up winning 26-15. What have I got? I've got that. I've got last year's loss, 2019, 17-10.
Yeah, that's a couple of Tre'Davious White end zone interceptions, maybe, or interceptions.
Duck Hodges.
In their own territory against Hodges, right?
My last win against Pittsburgh before then was 20 years before that, 99, 3-point win. The playoff game with Frank Reich.
Yeah, you can stop.
The 6-touchdown Kelly game, that had to be pretty easy. That's the one.
There it is.
You probably watched the game. You probably remember the game where OJ ran all over them in Three Rivers in 75.
You know, like barely. Yeah. I mean, I definitely watched it, but you know.
That would have been great.
Sure.
They lost to Pittsburgh in the 74 playoffs. Go back there week two, and OJ just ran all over them, and they beat the defending Super Bowl champs. Who cares what happened between the Bills and the Steelers before, like, 3 years ago, if even that means anything? I'm just a little bit out of my comfort zone here with two touchdown favorite against a team that has never, at least since this stuff we started keeping track, has been this big an underdog. How often have the Bills been 14-point favorites? Not that long ago, Bulldog and I would sit here and be like, oh, we got to go. No, those days are over. They were 14-point favorites six times last season.
Six times is hilarious.
Six games last year. Yeah. The Bills were favored between 14 and 18 points. Houston, Miami here, Halloween, Jacksonville. They were a 14.5-point favorite at Jacksonville, yep. Lost. Then their last three or four games, Carolina, Atlanta, and the Jets. The last three home games were all two touchdown plus favorites. You have a game in 19 against the Dolphins, and then you go back to 93, where the game Bledsoe debuted week one, Bledsoe and Parcells for New England against the Bills. So it happened six times last year. One of my favorite stats in sports is that the Steelers have had three coaches in 50 years. Can you name who their coach was before Chuck Knoll? I could not have done so before today.
No, if I really had to give an answer, I might say you're trying to trick me and Chuck Knoll was the original Steelers coach, which I know is not right.
No.
I don't have a name.
No, that's a very old franchise, but they were famous for being terrible all the time until Knoll. And then they had the big draft and just all starters, Hall of Famers, and then a dynasty. Bill Austin. Bill Austin.
Isn't he a ref?
Is he? Jerry Austin?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Bill Austin was three Steelers head coaches ago. Ever heard of him? I had not until, if I had, I'd forgotten his name.
But he's been dead for 40 years probably, right?
He's been dead for like 8 years.
Okay.
He was an assistant in the league into the 80s. I looked it up for the Jets. He was a line coach. So that's three head coaches before Tomlin in Pittsburgh Steelers history. Three Bills head coaches ago is Gailey. Not even counting interim. If you want, because sometimes I'm in the mood to, you can throw Anthony Lynn on there and make Marone, three Bills head coaches ago. I mean, Lynn did get a game. That game counts. But you have Rex, Anthony Lynn. Anthony Lynn was the official head coach of the Bills next to Sean McDermott, right? The one game at the Jets. Anthony Lynn, Rex, Marone, Gailey. Come on. Three Browns head coaches ago is Hugh Jackson. That's 2018. Anyway, you get the point, but...
Yeah, there's a lot of stability in that Pittsburgh
world. Well, I guess. Coughlin is three Giants coaches ago. That's a little bit longer in the past, but still, like, does that seem pretty recent? Tom Coughlin coaching the Giants, or no?
It's recent enough. The Steelers are just, what are they? They're a massive outlier in pro sports, not just the NFL. To have that kind of stability with three coaches in a row is incredible. I mean, if Cowher didn't want to stop, he probably would still be there. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
he'd have to keep having winning records like Tomlin has done. But you know, like he chose to walk away. I don't remember what surrounded Knoll leaving. If that was just like I'm, 70 years old and I'm done, or if he, hit the skids. I can't recall. But
they did slip, and I don't know for sure either. Like whether he was forced out. I doubt he was like really forced out. But they had fallen, that Kelly game is against Knoll in 91. And then Cowher is the next year, and they were the one seed that first year. That's the Bills go and beat them in the playoffs in Pittsburgh with Reich. But they were the one seed in 92. That's the beginning of Cowher, and he goes through that. Did he quit after the Super Bowl?
I think that's right. I think they won, and I think that was it for him.
Yeah. I mean... That's pretty good. It makes me wonder or think about, like, what if the Bills had just, you have to be good. I mean, of course you have to be good, but just stayed with certain coaches. Like, even Rex Ryan, right? Like, even Rex Ryan. Like, those were not bad, bad teams. They were average teams. Maybe even 9-7, or Marone's team was 9-7, and Rex's teams were like 8-8 or whatever they were. And what if they had just, even Marone, well, Marone quit, but anyway, it's hypothetical. Like, you want to achieve this. But this thing about Pittsburgh is everybody's envy, right? That they can have that continuity because there's just many reasons why you'd want it, why you'd prefer it to making changes. Yep. You have to be good enough to deserve it.
Right. But it helps if you win real early.
You win away.
Like really win, right? I mean, you buy yourself, you know, so you get the letter from the bank with like, hey, you qualified for an extended line of credit. Here you go. if you get one of those when you win a Super Bowl in like the first year or two of your tenure, three, whatever, and you're good for a while.
Right. Tomlin, I think that was his third year. Third year in, they get one. And so it's tough to take a guy like that out. Or it's tougher. It's much tougher. To do that, we know we can do it. What about McDermott for this? His career so far, it's in Bill's context, it's sparkling. It's almost amazing what his record looks like for this franchise after the drought, right? He ends the drought. It's a lucky year, but it counts. The step back, the step back that maybe Pittsburgh is in the middle of this year with the rookie quarterback, and then right back. With the franchise quarterback in place, it's all happening, and now he's like sort of made. Even without, or would you not say that? I mean, he hasn't been to a Super Bowl yet.
I think I'm reluctant to talk in such sort of
permanent ink here.
Yeah, I mean, it struck me as insane that people were thinking about replacing him after 13 seconds. Like when that became something that even, you know, enough people to want to call us, wanted to talk about it. Like, wow, this is really, really?
The only people who would think or talk like that call us. Like that,
okay,
this
sure.
This is the forum for sure. The extreme.
I know, right. I think in the midst of that, though, like I thought that, and then I think I told you this. I got like there is a friend of mine out there that is a season ticket holder to everything. And he, to me, is like, he's as close to a muse as I have. And like, I think of this guy when we're talking, like, I think this is my target audience. Right. And he sent me a long text after that, like, you know, and it was very reasoned and very just, we've got this quarterback and you can't have mistakes like you had there. It's going to cost you. Like, if it happens again, like it could be a problem. So I feel like McDermott is all set. But if something like what happened last January in Kansas City in the divisional round happens again, I think there's going to be a lot of numbers of fans, and it won't just be the people who are like only call us or however you know meant that. I think there'll be a lot of heat. So they have to avoid something like that. They have the most talented team. So how does the script read when you've got the most talented team? If there's not devastating injuries... If something goes wrong with the most talented team, what was it? I mean, something philosophical, schematically, like there's something wrong with what they're doing.
Maybe this is where it's interesting that he is a defensive coach. I mean, Allen, not that long ago, this was like a year ago maybe, early in the season or before the season, was talking about how limited of an interaction, like in terms of football, not just being a player on the Bills or the quarterback of the Bills, but like he and McDermott – I don't know, like there was a separation. This was nothing like serious or anything like that anybody cared about. But it's just like, oh yeah, right, Dable is his coach, you know? And so there is, I don't know about right now and just how much of this there is really. It's just, if you're the coach in charge of the offense and you have Josh Allen, if you're Andy Reid then, you know, right? Like then you get the credit. McDermott, it's a different deal. He does get the credit for the defense. So does Frazier. But, you know, it's McDermott's team. And the defense has been excellent. And as long as – did this maybe come up this morning? Were they talking about this? Like, as long as the defense maintains that, apart from, like, a massive strategic blunder, whatever you'd want to call the end of the Kansas City game, you know, that's where you would – how would you analyze – his job performance. Well, they're first in the on defense again.
Right.
You know?
Yep. And they've been to the playoffs 4 out of 5 years.
That's right. The record, the defensive record, And is there something in the way of just sort of settling for that as, like, this is my coach's job performance and it's excellent? But if you're not the offensive coordinator, you're not calling the plays, Sean Payton with Breeze, like, he's not going anywhere. He's there as long as Breeze is there, right? I mean, Reed and Mahomes. It's a different equation a little bit, or it can be, when the head coach is the defensive coordinator, or, you know, comes from defense, if you will. Well, Tomlin is too. I mean, Tomlin.
Yep.
Tomlin gets Roethlisberger 4 years into his career, though, or 2 years into his career.
Right.
And they won all the time, and so where's he going?
Right. That's why the winning early sort of sets you up, right? You won early enough with him, with the quarterback. So the quarterback's coming back. So we'll just keep rolling this out there because this is we're a contender every year if we've got these two. Like, that is a very surface level analysis of, you know, looking at your coach's job performance. But I think it's one you kind of want. It's one teams want to respect. Like, we've won with this. Let's keep going. So, you know, if McDermott, I think if they win one, then he's coasting. Like, he could become Tomlin if they win one, provided Allen stays here, like Roethlisberger stayed through the duration in Pittsburgh. But you got to get one. If you don't get one, and you've got the most talented team, and Sean Payton is looking for a job, by the way, yeah, I think you start to think about looking around.
What was particular to the way I would remember it last year, the end of last year? You talk about callers, not many.
No,
but a handful of fans, some small percentage of the fans thought there should be a change, whatever that is. It 1%, it might not even be 1%, but some small percentage of the fans would have voted yes on that. And part of that is that Daboll left. Like, he was the coach of the offense and he left. So how am I going to win going forward? How important was he is a question we've all asked and not really known. This year, I'd say so far, so good. But they haven't been perfect or anything. Anyway, that's the worry. If the Chiefs lose their defensive coordinators, do we even notice?
Right.
Or the Saints, you know, those teams, like, is it even anything? Yeah, I mean, defense means something, but if Spagnuolo leaves the Chiefs and Coach X goes in there and it's Reed and Mahomes again, I mean, their predictions are going to be the same.
Right, you're expecting them to score 35 points a game, and, you know, whatever. They've won with way worse defensive performances than they're getting now, and even last year.
Right, no, right. Yeah, last year was bad, and then it was good. For a while. Go figure, it would work like that, but it does. Well, this season, I mean, these last 2 weeks, who knows? I sort of have that kind of in my head right now, as we're saying. I mentioned already that, like, they have some tough circumstances on offense right now. And defense, too. I mean, that's really not... their injuries, too. Maybe even more, actually. Edmonds?
Yeah, Poyer and Edmonds not practicing for a second day in a row gets your attention, I think, when you look at that.
Yeah.
The list.
We'll have Sal on at 4 and go over... Be nice to talk to Sal someday about something other than injuries, but it takes a while to run through these. First, though, Joe Ostrowski. Bet MGM, BetQL. We'll talk to Joe, his regular Thursday visit. Also, Ross Tucker today. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.